Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This verse is probably one of the best known passages in Scripture, one that many Christians know and have memorized. And it's appropriate because it is a good summary and statement of the Christian faith and of why our Lord has given his Son into death for our salvation, what he has then done in sending his Son, and who he is. And so we're going to look at each one of those things. Why? What was the situation? What then God did about the situation that we were in? And who this God is, as we look at this verse today. First, let's look at why. Notice it says here in John 3:16 that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That tells us that there was a problem, that we would have perished otherwise had God not acted. We were in danger of not just death, not just physical death, but actually of perishing in hell forever because of our rebellion against God. Because of Adam and Eve's first rebellion and our continued ongoing sin and rebellion that manifests itself throughout the world in violence and evil, and so we would otherwise perish. This situation that we are in is well illustrated by an Old Testament account, a real Old Testament story, that Jesus refers to a few verses before John 3:16. He refers to Moses lifting up a snake in the wilderness. This is from the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, where the people of Israel are wandering in the wilderness, and they begin to complain against Moses and against God, saying that Moses has brought them out here to kill them in the wilderness, and that they loathe this worthless food that God gave them, that he gives them every day miraculously that appears on the ground. And God then punishes them for their complaining by sending snakes among them who bite them, and some of them die. And seeing this, the people plead with Moses and say, "We have sinned." They acknowledge the difficulty of their situation. They acknowledge the problem, the state that they are in. And really, all of us, and every person since Adam and Eve sinned, every person is in this same predicament of facing death. Whether it be by snakes, or viruses, or earthquakes, or fires, or whatever it might be, we are all in danger of suffering the punishment of God. And death is the punishment that God brought upon humankind for our sin. So we are in danger of God's judgment. And we deserve to perish eternally. But it says here that God does not want us to perish, but to have eternal life. And indeed, God desires that all be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so God, knowing the predicament that we were in, knowing what we deserved, that we could not live with him forever and abide with him as sinful human beings, that we could not be in his presence, just as in our Old Testament reading, Isaiah the prophet confesses, when he comes into the presence of God, he's given a vision of God's throne room, he realizes his sin and unworthiness to stand in the presence of God, and he knows that he cannot be there. Our predicament is such that we cannot abide with God forever and have eternal life with him. But God does not want us to perish. So because of our terrible situation, then God sent his Son into this world to die for us. And this, again, is illustrated by that Old Testament story that Jesus references, And so let's go back to that with the Israelites in the wilderness after they pleaded with Moses to do something about their problem. If they acknowledge that they have sinned, how does God respond? What does God do? Well, he doesn't just take away the snakes. Instead, he tells Moses to do something that seems very strange. He tells him, make a bronze snake and put it on a pole, and everyone, when he looks to it, will be healed if he is bitten. And Moses does this. And so people are healed. And Jesus then points out that this story, just like all of the Old Testament, is really about him, about Jesus, about what God was going to do in Jesus to save the world. Because Jesus was going to be the one who was lifted up on the pole of the cross. And he, not a snake, but he, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, is hung there and suffers the punishment that we all deserve for all of our sins, so that when we look to him and trust in him and believe in him, then we are healed and we are saved and our sins are forgiven. This is what God did because of the terrible situation that we were in. And all of this on this Trinity Sunday tells us something about who God is. That he is a God who loves us and cares for us. And that he is Father, he is Son, who comes to die, and he is Spirit, who gives us the faith that believes in Jesus. He is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We couldn't know this, though, any of this, from just going out into the world and looking at creation. Some people think that just being in nature, having mountaintop experiences, going on hikes and things like that is a substitute for being in church and hearing God's word. That they can commune with God in nature. But nature doesn't tell us that God loves us or that he is three in one. You can go outside and look at nature and you can see God's power. You can see that he designs and creates beautiful things. Things that are majestic and worthy of awe. But there are plenty of people who have gone and seen the world, seen natural disasters and famines and earthquakes and evil and suffering, and they look and they say, well, how can there be a loving God with all of these things going on in the world? And they reject God because they see disaster and evil. And that's why we have to look to God on the cross, paying for our sins, to see that he loves us. This verse, John 3:16, could be better translated. God loved the world in this way that he gave his only Son. This is where we look for the love of God. Is he loved the world in this way, in that he sent his only begotten Son to die in our place and suffer the punishment that we deserve. This is how we know God's love. And when we look out in nature, we see God's power and his majesty. But we also see then his power over our lives. We see that he can send snakes and send God his punishment. That he has sent the curse and he has sent death. And so he wants us to run, not to nature, but to run to his cross. To see that there he has sent his dear beloved Son into the flesh to suffer and die in our place. This is how we know God's love. In 1 John 4 it says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is the God in whom we are to believe and whom we are to trust. The God who sent his Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins because of the terrible predicament that we were in. And throughout our liturgy, we confess this God to be the one true God. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Acknowledging that this is the name into which we are baptized. This is the true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Those who deny the Son and the Spirit and claim to believe in God, no matter how sincere and religious they are, no matter how many good things they do, they are worshiping a false god because they deny the triune God who has come to us in Jesus Christ and who sends his Spirit to cause us to believe in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And then who baptizes us into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We begin in that name, and then we continue to confess that name throughout our liturgy. When we say, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. When we say our collect of the day, and we pray to the Father, and then we ask that he would give us our requests for the sake of Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we ask that God the Father be merciful to us. And we say that we pray this with the Holy Spirit, who empowers us and causes us to confess this and to believe this and to pray this. And who, with the Son and the Father, then live together, one God, and reign over the whole world, now and forever. This is the God who has loved us, the triune God, the only true God, who, because of our terrible predicament, our terrible situation, has sent his Son to pay the price for our sins. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.